Morning to everyone. Put this somewhere here. Fix my mic here. You guys have Psalm 91. That's where our lesson will be taken from. In the book of Psalm, the 91st division. I know it had already been read, but we'll read it one more time. Psalm 91, if you want to follow along. The Bible says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Let us pray. Our gracious God, we're so thankful, Lord God, for this time, this opportunity to share in your word and in your fellowship, Lord God, for each and every one that is here. Dear God, may you speak to our hearts, that we may be edified, Lord, and you may be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I wanted to talk a little bit about a concept in the Bible is called the secret place. The title of the message today is Living in the Secret Place. So today we're going to deal with what the secret place is and what does it mean to live in the secret place, and how does living in the secret place benefit us? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There are a couple passages in the scripture that refer to this particular concept. One is in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "But when you pray," and this is Jesus talking to his disciples, he said, "But when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." The secret place. So in that particular place, we see it is directly associated with prayer and the way that we pray. In Psalm number 31 and verse 20, it says, "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of men you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." In that particular passage, it refers to the secret place as the very presence of God. It says, "You shall hide them in your presence, the secret place." In Psalm 139, I like the New International Version. It says, "You have created me in the secret place. I am fearfully and wonderfully made." See, this is a very important concept for us if we are going to thrive as the people of God. If we want to live productive lives, we have to understand that we belong to God. David went so far as to say that you created me in your presence. We were made in his image, in his likeness, and we belong to him. He knows our every heartbeat, every breath that we will ever take. Not a tear will drop from our eyes that he is not aware of. He is God, and he gave us life. The Bible says that, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it's he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." So we ought to enter into his presence with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. So that gives us an idea of how we enter into the secret place. We enter into the secret place with thanksgiving. See, when we are grateful for the life that God has given us, he brings us into his presence because that's what he requires of us. He requires of us grateful hearts. See, we're going to get to the text and bring it all together, but I just want to make a few points. In Hebrews 10 and 19, he says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus." See, the blood of God gives us the power to enter to the very presence of a holy God. Otherwise, we have no entrance. Otherwise, we cannot stand before him. It is the blood of the Lamb. It is the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross that gives us access to the very presence of God. Are we taking advantage of this? Do we understand the power that comes by living in the presence of God? Do we understand the power of praying in the secret place? Of giving your heart over to the Lord fully and intently and purposefully? Do we know what it means to live in the presence of God? I'm not talking about just the visitation. See, some of us are satisfied with just visiting or just going and entering to his presence when we have a pressing need. But that will not work if we are ever to thrive in this evil world. Understand this, that we have to surround ourselves with the presence of God. And he went through all of that to give us that privilege. Should we not take advantage? Absolutely. See, God calls us to live in his presence. He said in John chapter 15, "Abide in me and I in you." God literally wants to live with us and walk with us and talk with us and tell us that we are his. Our hearts belong to him anyway. He created us from the dust. Paul said, "From one man he created every nation of all men, and he knows every thought and intent of our hearts." Psalm 139. "I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods I will..." Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. "Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know all together. You have hedged me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall guide me and your right hand shall hold me." If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be like light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall hide me from you, shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you form my inward parts, you cover me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was hidden from you. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. But if you can understand, and this is why I love this psalm, because it deals with the intricate detail in which God created us and he formed us. And he did that, and he put all of this work into us for the purpose. For the purpose of having a people for his own. For the purpose of having a people to put on display in the dark world. Jesus calls us, he says, we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. See, we were called to be lights. We were called to be example. We are called to be the standard of God's righteousness. And because he created us in righteousness. But do we live that way? And that's what it means to live in the secret place. Are we living a life that says that we belong to God? Are we making a distinction between us and everyone else? Are we loving one another? Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? Are we doing the things which God requires of us? Are we seeking him with all our heart, mind, bodies, and souls? These are the things that we have to ponder. These are the things that we have to consider. And I believe that we are. I understand that this is the time, these are perilous times, and this is the time, and I talked a little bit about it on Wednesday, the best of times and the worst of times. See, the best of times for those of us who know God, these are a good and exciting times. There's so many opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus. People will literally walk up to you. You don't have to say anything if you're living in a secret place. So I understand that in order to live and thrive, we have to live in the presence of God. See, the issue is that sin cannot live in his presence. So if it is, the Bible says that if I regard sin in my heart, God will not hear me. Your sin has separated you from your God, and your iniquities have hidden his face from you. If we are harboring sin in any manner, we won't stand in the presence of God, and we can't live there. So understand this, when we are in the presence of God, we are exposed in our sin. But at the same time, we are exposed to the awesome and great love of God, which cleanses us of our sin when we turn to him with our whole heart. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus. The prophet said, when I fall, when I stumble, I will arise. Why? Because the Lord is my vindication, and because I live in his presence. So when we fall, are we able to dust ourselves off and get up and remain in the presence of God? See, a lot of times when we stumble and fall, we let it keep us out of the presence of God, and we let it hinder us from living a life that he calls us to live. But understand this, God wants us to live in his presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy, and his right hand are pleasures forevermore. There are many benefits to living in the presence of God. We're going to talk about what living in the presence of God looks like. Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 6, but when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Praying in the secret place. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without seeking. Paul tells us in Philippians to be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. See, are we living lives of prayer? Scripture says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to these things. Set your mind on the things above. Living a life of prayer. And see, understand this is a very specific type of prayer. It's a prayer that calls upon God. Too often we pray with vanity. We want to pray and ask God to show us favor. We want to pray and ask God for things when we don't realize that if we're seeking His kingdom, if we're living in His presence, all of those things will be added to us. If we're living according to His word, we're not asking for anything. He said, your Father already knows what you need. Just live. Just live according to my word. Just follow my lead. He will guide you in His presence. He will strengthen you in His presence. He will give you a new heart in His presence. Live in His presence. Give our hearts and our minds to prayer. See, pray intentionally. Pray with purpose. Pray with authority. Because God has given us access to Him. Now, what are we praying for? We're praying for God's will in our lives, whatever that may be. See, it may be even for us to suffer. And in this life, we will suffer. That's just a part of living in a fallen world. We are going to suffer the consequences of sin, whether it be directly or indirectly. That's a part of life. And see, when we suffer, you know, what we don't want to do is let it keep us out of the presence of God. But in our suffering, we are comforted by His presence. We are comforted by His word. We are comforted by His love and grace for us. And not only are we comforted, but Paul said we can comfort others in their troubles. So there's a lot of benefits to living in the presence of God. We live. Paul said, in Him we live and move and we have our being. He created us to live in His presence. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So living in the presence of God means to live by His word. Live according to His word. We take this word and we seek to do whatever it instructs us to do. We take this word when it comes to the needs of our lives. We take this word and when it comes to how we make every decision. The Bible tells us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ or the word of God. So we live, living in the presence of God. Well, we're going to go back to our text in Psalm 91. Now, this passage reminds me of when it talks about He who dwells in the secret place, in the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely the Lord shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. If there's not a time where we need refuge, it is these times that we are living in now. We know and we see all of the evil that surrounds us. We know and we see all of the darkness that confronts us on a daily basis. We understand how dark and corrupt and evil this world has become as a result of sin, as a result of man's rebellion. And we can easily get caught up in that. But if we make the Lord our refuge, our shelter, He will keep us. He will protect us. He will bless us in His presence from the perilous pestilence. He will cover us with His feathers. And under His wings we will take refuge. And His truth shall be our shield and buckler. And we don't have to be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste in noonday. See, as much as that we see around us, and all of the destruction and all of the turmoil and everything that's going on in the world, we can see it, but it doesn't have to affect us if we live in the presence of our God. He stretched out His arms. He said, "Come to Me for shelter. Come to Me when you are weary and carry heavy burdens." We have rest in His presence. We have peace in His presence. We have joy in His presence. We have life in His presence. We have access to wisdom in His presence. We have all things pertaining to life and godliness in His presence. In His presence, we have become partakers of His divine nature. And so we can live in an evil world and shine in the darkness, because we live in His presence. Verse 9, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." He even sends the angels to protect us and keep us. And it's often that I've seen personally where I can look back on my life and know that God was looking out for me. There's not a question about it. It's not a question about it, because I didn't always live in the presence of God. I knew what the Word said, and I knew how to pray, and but I didn't always live in the presence of God. I didn't know how. I didn't understand what it meant to live in the presence of God. I fell into that mold where I would just seek God when there was a need or something like that. But now, for every moment that I have and every breath that I have, I give to seeking the Lord and honoring Him with everything. Because I understand that He didn't have to keep me in my rebellion, in my sin. He didn't have to protect me, but He did. He loved me. So I seek to live with Him and for Him, because He is good. Because He gave me grace. And grace that has brought me here to stand before you and preach the Word of God. And it's only grace. Nothing else. Nothing I've done or ever could have done to get here but God. He saw fit to keep me. So His presence is precious and valuable to us. Like that pearl of great price, when you find it, you're willing to go and sell everything that you have to attain it. The presence of God is precious. The presence of God is valuable, and we should value it above all. Jesus said, if you If you're not willing to forsake all to come after me, you can't be my disciple. So understand that the presence of God takes priority in our lives, even over our daily bread, even according to the scriptures. Because we don't live on bread alone, but we live by the presence of God. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. How many times and how often have we made bad choices and done foolish things and God brought us out? Because he has set his love upon us. Not that we loved him, but he first loved us. While we were sinners, Christ came and he died. He died a criminal's death that we might live in his presence. That is his desire. That's what he came for, to rescue us out of this dark and evil world. But we have a requirement. The requirement is to set our love upon him. The Bible says, seek his face continually. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. So if you're dealing with some things, if you've made some bad choices or fallen on hard times or are dealing with the issues of life, God promises to deliver you if you set your love on him. He said, I will set them on high because they have known my name. The Bible says, he who seeks him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He said, I will set him on high because he has known my name. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about us being seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That he is above all principalities and powers of darkness in this evil age. See, in the presence of God, we can live above these things. We can live in the world and live. We can be in the world and live above these things. We don't have to be affected by the evil around us. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Are we calling upon God out of a pure heart? He will answer us. He promised to answer us if we're calling upon him and we are allowing him to purify our hearts and our motives, sanctify our minds. He said, I will answer them. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So understand this, anything that you go through or experience in this life, God promises to be with you. He says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. The Hebrew writer says, be content with such things as you have, because he has promised to be with you. And show him my salvation. So God promises to save us. And see, all of this is connected. If you go through this psalm and you study it, it's all connected to those that live. That's why it starts off those that dwell in his presence. See, it's not an issue of, it's not a matter of being in and out and up and down and all over the place, but live. Make the Lord your refuge and your dwelling place. Live in his presence. Live. Though you may fall, get up. Rise up and live. Though you may sin, you have an advocate. And you can be forgiven. And you can be purified. But live in his presence. Remain in his presence. Jesus said, if you continue, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples? And then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If we are bound by anything, God says if we just live in His presence, He will set us free. And He will save us. See, and it's contingent upon living. See, we don't want to meet God. The Bible says that nothing in heaven, nothing under the earth is hidden from His sight. He sees all. He knows every thought and every intent of every heart of every man that has ever graced the face of the earth. He knows. But the thing is that as He knows all of this, at the end of our lives, we're going to have to give an account. See, we're going to have to give an account to God at the end of our lives. And if we're not living in the secret place, it's unfortunate that we won't see the kingdom of heaven. Living in the secret place is our key to salvation. It's our key to deliverance. It's our key to peace and joy and blessing. It's our key to be an example to those around us if we live in the secret place. He promises to save us. So we understand that God has created us, and He has created us for one purpose. That's to live in Him. To live a life that He called us to live, a life of holiness and purity and goodness and mercy, to bear the fruit of the kingdom. He said, "He said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, that you might come, and then I appointed you to go and bear fruit. I appointed you to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I appointed you to stand in my presence and live with me." So if we live with God, if we live in the presence of God, then we can be saved. We can have our hearts changed. And we can affect the lives of those around us. But if we refuse, if we neglect so great a salvation, we're going to deal with the consequences in eternity. And I don't think that's something that we want. So understand that God has called us to live with Him. Now you can be saved and having been baptized and obey the gospel, but you can still fall out of the grace of God. The Bible says that clearly. So understand, it's a continual thing. It's not something that you just do, but it's something that you live. Your life belongs to God. Job said, "In Him, in His hands, is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." So we belong to Him. So we have to live accordingly. If you've heard the word and you understand that you belong to God, and in order to be saved, you have to live in His presence. If that's something that you want to do, if that's something that you feel in your heart that you need, then you can come forward. For those of us who live in the presence of God, will have fallen away or have sinned, we can come back and we can live in His presence and know His love, and then have the ability to share His love with others. If this is your desire, come forth as we stand and sing. I have